As we heard, the man whose deportation Ersin intended to halt, a 26-year-old Afghan, he's been deported from Sweden. As for the older Afghan man who was actually on the plane, the 52-year-old who was reportedly convicted of assault in Sweden, there's still confusion there. Earlier, we asked reporter Maddie Savage in Stockholm for the latest in the older man's case.
Various different Swedish media sources have reported that he has been deported from another part of Sweden, but that has not been confirmed to us by police. This has also come as it has emerged that he is facing a prison sentence in Sweden for assault, according to some Swedish media. Again, this has not been verified to us by the police, and it's not something that's been reported by Swedish public service broadcasters. So it's not totally clear what's happened to him. And I think it's important to point out the context of this. Here in Sweden, suspects are very, very rarely named in the media, and ethnicity isn't something that's logged in relation to crimes. But of course, the significance of all of this, whether he's actually been deported or not, and what the specific details are surrounding these assault allegations, is the fact that she has very much been hailed as a hero by a lot of the left-wing media over the past week or so, somebody standing up for the rights of asylum seekers. But of course, if this is somebody that's been committing crimes in Sweden, that does very much start to shift the debate around his deportation.
How does it change the way the actions of Ilan Ersin are being seen in Sweden and around the world?
There have been a number of right-wing bloggers and people taking to social media already to effectively complain that she shouldn't have been held up as such a hero, and also criticizing various media for not digging into the nitty-gritty of the story. Although, as I've said, it's hard to do that in a climate where police and the Swedish Migration Agency tend to be very tight-lipped about specific cases. And also talking about a bit of a contrast, really, between the Swedish Foreign Office, which gives official travel advice to Swedes, telling them to avoid all travel to Afghanistan due to the security situation. But then the Migration Agency still maintaining that parts of the country, including its capital, Kabul, are safe enough for asylum seekers to be returned there. So those are the national debates. And then the even bigger context to all of this is the fact that there is an election coming up in Sweden in just over a month. And immigration and integration, two of the hottest topics here. There have been a number of high-profile crimes carried out by asylum seekers here in Sweden, including hand grenade attacks and shootings. That has very much angered the right here. And so if it is the case that this man was involved in an assault, reports suggesting he was sentenced to 2 years in prison, which means it could have been quite a serious crime, that is going to add a lot of fuel to the right here in Sweden, who want the country to cut down even further on immigration and are very concerned about integration in the future.
So it's fair to say that immigration has become a polarizing issue in Sweden. I'm curious, how controversial in particular is the issue of returning unsuccessful asylum seekers to Afghanistan and facing what some believe is violence and possibly death?
I wouldn't say it's a key issue amongst most of the electorate. I think the key issues for people living here in Sweden are more concerning jobs, whether or not asylum seekers should be forced to learn to speak Swedish, the strain on the welfare state. But on the other hand, there are a lot of activists that have been talking about this issue for some months. There have been a few other protests at different airports around the country because of this discrepancy that they see between Swedes being told they can't go to Afghanistan because it's unsafe and asylum seekers being told they have to go home.
And what impact will this case and the attention brought to it by Ms. Ersin have on other deportations? Likely to slow down the process or the opposite?
What has often happened is that asylum seekers have ended up going underground. And that is something that's also been worrying those on the right here. That's been a key issue. And so a lot of people want to push forward these deportations quickly so that people don't end up taking jobs on the black market and existing in Sweden illegally. So a lot of different issues to discuss in the run-up to the election. But I think what's really fascinating is that we are just looking at a very different story when we were seeing what was being hailed as a humanitarian hero. And now a lot of people are using this as yet another example to suggest that Sweden hasn't handled immigration and integration properly, and that its very open policy in the past is one that can be called into question.
And when are the elections there?
Elections are taking place in about 6 weeks from now on the 9th of September, and it really is going to be on a bit of a knife edge. It's going to be very difficult for the centre-left or the centre-right to get a majority bloc, and it could leave this anti-immigration party as the kingmakers. So it's going to be very interesting to watch and see whether deportations and immigration become even more of a focal point in the campaign as we get a little bit closer to that crucial vote.
Journalist Maddie Savage speaking with us from the Swedish capital, Stockholm. Thanks very much.
Thanks very much.